Jee Krishna Sankirtan Ki
Jai.
Hare Krishna, everybody.
Hare Krishna.
Happy Memorial Day weekend. And most people think of Memorial Day as picnics, right? Everyone's going to go for a nice picnic on such a nice day. But it wasn't a picnic for the people that volunteered to serve this nation and to give their lives to help fight the enemies. So I was a little inspired. Also from that thought, but also from a prayer that was sung in a ceremony in the morning, which I'd never heard before. And it was a prayer to Lord Nrsimhadev. There are five prayers that was composed into a song by one of our great acharyas, our great teachers, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it's a prayer to Lord Nrsimhadev, asking him to, is it up there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll just read what it says. I'm just going to read the first verse. Within my heart, the six enemies, headed by lust, perpetually reside, as well as duplicity, the desire for fame, plus sheer cunning. At the lotus feet of Lord Nrsimhadev, I hope that he will mercifully purify my heart and give me the desire to serve Lord Krishna. So we're going to talk a little bit about these enemies that are within ourselves and glorify those who are all in this room because they've all decided to volunteer this lifetime to fight those enemies and to relieve themselves from this lust, anger, greed, so many different bad natures within ourselves. So this is an important and glorious service that we're doing because our soul is hankering for peace. You hear it all the time. Let's just have peace in this world. Can't we just have some peace? It begins with peace of mind, right? So here we can see that this prayer is exposing our heart. And this desire for sense gratification has started from day number one. As soon as we come out of the womb, we're wanting, we cry, right? Because we want something. Because we're already miserable, and we want something to make us happy. And so this continues and continues and continues our pursuit for happiness in this lifetime. And this lust for sense desire overrides our original pure desire. We all have to desire something. It overrides our pure desire, which is love of Krishna, like it's saying in this prayer, the desire to serve Lord Krishna. So this is an important thing to discuss. Do you have those verses? If you have the verses 2-6... Okay, can I have the English, please? So this is the scenario that we can identify with. This is Bhagavad Gita. It's describing how the contemplation, just a little dwelling on something that is exciting, this is what happens. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment, lust develops. And from lust, anger arises. The next verse, please. English. From anger, complete delusion arises, and from delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost, and when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. So this is a scenario that we can all kind of identify with. Maybe on a small scale, we hanker for something, and then we don't get it, we get angry, right? And then we get so angry that we maybe make offenses, and we get bewildered. And so this is what's going on in this material world, what's going on in our hearts, actually. And these are the enemies that we'd like to discuss. Has anyone ever been a landlord before here? I had the unfortunate experience of being a landlord for a couple of years. It was no fun. I thought I had someone good to come in and take over the property and everything. And then sooner or later, I find out that they didn't tell me, they put a hole in the roof and they didn't pay me. And then worse than that, they invited their friends, their relatives, same thing, destroyed the floors, destroyed this, destroyed that. Not a good experience. So you can see that invite one little enemy, lust, into our hearts. Then they bring all their friends, right? And then we get the anger and the greed, as discussed here. And we get so upset that we get bewildered, we get mad. So this is, usually you can see the symptoms when you start hankering for something. And then after you hanker for something, then it keeps going on and on. And if you get so angry, then you might even go ballistic and actually offend somebody, and that can ruin your whole day, right? It can ruin your whole japa period. If you get angry at someone, you can't even chant Hare Krishna. And it can even ruin your whole life if you really blow it. So this is a very subtle, these are very subtle enemies, but very powerful. There's a story, I'm not sure where it came from. I tried to find out. But it's about Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami is a great devotee of the Lord. And he was in the forest of Vrindavan. This was a long time ago. And he was meditating. And he could really meditate. He could sit down and just think of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And he was so absorbed. It was a pastime where I think Radharani was getting herself made up by her friends, and she was looking in a mirror, and the girls started to laugh because behind the mirror was Krishna standing, watching the whole thing. And so he started to laugh in his meditation. And it just so happened that there was a devotee who was walking by, and this devotee had a little limp. He had something wrong with his body, so he walked in a disfigured way. And just as he was approaching Rupa Goswami, Rupa Goswami laughed. And he thought, oh, this person, he's laughing at me, he's being offensive. And he went off in a huff and a puff. But it was Rupa Goswami was just in some meditation, he didn't even know who was there in front of him. And so, but he was disturbed because of this anger, this energy that is there and these enemies. His meditation broke. And he actually went and said, what is going on? So he went to his brother, Sanatana Goswami, and said, what's going on? You know, what happened? And Sanatana Goswami said, you must have offended somebody. And he goes, I didn't offend anybody. And he goes, who could I have offended? And so he said, well, have a big feast and see who doesn't come. And so that's the point is that these feelings, even if they don't manifest sometimes out loud within your heart, they actually affect other people around you. So we don't want to house these enemies. We want to evict them if we possibly can. But it's not always so easy. These enemies, of course, it begins within our own hearts, but it actually can multiply on a bigger scale, on a global scale. And this is visible. You can see between countries. Countries think, they hanker, oh, look at America, look at this country, look at Brazil, oh, they have so many things, I want this, I want that, oh, if we work hard, if we do this, and then they start to compete, right? And then out of competition, then they start getting angry at each other, which usually happens. And then wars, hatred, and wars. And you can see where even countries can lose their culture. Even they give up the purity of their religion sometimes, just to have the quality of something that they don't have. So it's a real problem. I was just looking on the internet this morning. Someone sent me something. It was interesting. This is a quotation from Prabhupada, our spiritual master, in the fourth canto. It's in a purport. It was very apropos. There is a great need to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement in the world, so that even though people sometimes become angry and malicious toward another because of their being Krishna conscious, such rivalry, competition, and envy can be adjusted without difficulty. So if we are Krishna conscious, if we can become pure ourselves, then we can even affect the whole world by teaching them how to control your mind and how to get rid of these enemies that are within ourselves. There's also a... of course, how do we do this? Well, we can pray a lot. This is a nice prayer. I'll read a couple of the prayers by Bhaktivinoda Thakur again. And he's saying, this is his prayer. O Gopinath, Lord of the Gopis, please hear my prayer. I'm a wicked materialist, always addicted to worldly desires, and no good qualities do I possess. O Gopinath, you are my only hope, and so I have taken shelter at your lotus feet. I am now your eternal servant. O Gopinath, how will you purify me? I do not know what devotion is, and my materialistic mind is absorbed in fruitful work. I have fallen into this dark and perilous worldly existence. O Gopinath, everything here is your illusory energy. I have no strength or transcendental knowledge, and the body of mind is not independent, being controlled by material nature. And there's many, many prayers, praying to get rid of this lust and anger, envy and greed out of our hearts. So this is one thing we can do. But usually the mind is so cluttered, that's why we have all this anxiety, and we have, we worry a lot about who knows what. And it also entangles us. We get more and more bound by our material desires in this world, such that we have to take birth again and again and again and again to fulfill them, which never get fulfilled. So we need to pray a lot. But also it mentioned in that one prayer that we need knowledge. Usually people can't decipher to do something or not to do something. Is this going to be beneficial for me? Should I actually get this for myself, or will it be hurt my spiritual advancement? Because your intelligence is weak. So therefore we have to pray and study and absorb this higher intelligence that we're given in all these books. So much knowledge of the Vedas. Vedas mean knowledge. We need to absorb as much as we can so that our intelligence becomes very strong. We know the absolute truth. We know really who we are, that we're not this body. And so therefore the Gita teachings, the Bhagavatam teachings are all nourishing that intelligence so that we can know what to do and what not to do. And know that our real purpose in life is just not to serve our senses but to serve Krishna. So if one doesn't take advantage of this knowledge, then they will probably be living in this dream, thinking that it's real and never really being satisfied. And all they do is worry. Do I have something that I need? Do I not? So my sister, she told me a very nice little quote from Mark Twain. And it has something to do with this. I thought it was kind of nice. It says, I have had a lot of worries in my life, most of which never happened. Isn't it true? You worry and you worry, and you worry all the time. And most of the time, it never manifests itself. So this is a little bit of insanity that we gather while we're in this material world dealing with this. Just a little bit crazy. Actually, Prabhupada wrote a book, an article, Who is Really Crazy? And in that article, he actually says that we are all walking in a dream state, thinking that this is real, when it's all just temporary. And so we can worry our heads off, but it's all just temporary. So we have to sharpen our intelligence so that we don't become illusioned, so we don't walk around in this crazy state. One time, I volunteered. Actually, my mother forced me to volunteer. I guess that's... Anyway, I was forced to volunteer to become a person who goes to... I was only like 13, to like... retirement homes that where the people have mental problems. Not only were these people in illusion, thinking that they were this body, But they thought they were completely somebody else, and that they were, and they were all walking around, and it was really crazy. And I was very young, and I couldn't handle it. I thought, I swear I'm never going to get old. I swore I'd never get old. Anyway, so this is it's a crazy place. What we need to do is we need to hanker and desire to serve Krishna so that we can go back where we can serve him to our heart's content. We can go back to the spiritual world, right to Krishna, back to Krishna Loka. Because this is a very foreign place. That's why we're all crazy, because we don't know where we are, really. We think we're here, but we're actually, our heart is hankering to be back with Krishna. So we need to evict these enemies that are keeping us here. And so I think we have a couple more days of spring left. I think summer starts a couple days. So there's something called spring cleaning. And so we can sweep out and get rid of and clean out all these enemies from our hearts. And the recommended agent is Hare Krishna, the holy name of the Lord. Actually, it's said by Lord Chaitanya, by the Lord himself. He says, glory to Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life, of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is a prime benediction for humanity at large, because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge and increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So this is the cleaning agent that we need, is to constantly fill ourselves with the holy name, because it is Krishna, and Krishna is the most purifying of all purifying things. So we can, it's kind of like a pressure washer. Dhruva here, he pressure washed our roofs, and he had to actually get a rope to hang him on the roof, because he'd fall off. They're very powerful. So we have so much crud on our hearts that we need a pressure washer to really blast it off. And then, of course, you have that little thing on the pressure washer where you can put bleach in there, you know, and really, really get it off on your mobile home. Anyway, so the bleach is association with devotees to make it more powerful in the reading, in the serving, and, of course, prasadam. All that makes it stronger and stronger and more purifying, so that we can relish the holy name in kirtan. It's so wonderful. We can all experience it in a nice kirtan. All your troubles go away. All those worries go away. And then you can actually taste a little bit of connection, that bhakti, that yoga, that connection to Krishna. And we find that it does really work. And the more we chant, the longer we chant, the more we will get rid of these enemies. Of course, there is some old advice, maybe you've all heard it before, that if you want to get rid of some enemy, just don't feed them, right? They'll go away. If you don't feed them, they'll hit the road. So this is important. What is it that feeds our enemies, our lust? What feeds our envy? What feeds our jealousy? We all know what the little things are. Maybe it's the, you know, the food in the supermarket that we really shouldn't be buying. Maybe it's the movies that we see on our little phone that we shouldn't be watching. But so many different things. There's so many things to dwell on now in this material world, just right here in this little box. Push any button and you can have any kind of sense enjoyment you want. So it's very difficult to get rid of these enemies. But we can. Just have to get rid of this junk food, all these things that we don't want that are nourishing these enemies. But take the things that will nourish our soul, and especially this holy name of the Lord. It is an essential ingredient within our lives. And the more we take to it, the more we will see that it will get rid of these enemies. But there are exceptions. There are exceptions in Krishna consciousness, where some devotees have used these qualities in Krishna's service. And so this is seen. Hanuman, for instance, when he heard that Ravana had taken Lord Sita from Lord Ram, he got very, very angry, right? What did he do? Jumped over the ocean, went in the garden, made a big ruckus, tore up all the trees in the Ashoka garden, and then Ravana got very angry and lit Hanuman's tail on fire, and Hanuman got even angrier, and what did he do? Ran all over the city, lighting it up, burned down all the big buildings and everything in Lanka. So this is a where we can see that you can use some of these services. Just like Lord Chaitanya, he displayed madness. Madness is also one of these enemies. But his madness was because of separation from Radha and Krishna. He would become so mad that he'd forget himself and he'd wander off and he fell in the ocean and a fisherman caught him in his net. And when he touched Lord Chaitanya, he became maddened himself with love of God. So Lord Chaitanya uses madness to go and to spread Krishna consciousness to so many different persons all over the world. And then there's one devotee, I think his name was Kaliya Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya was visiting where he lived, and he was greedy. He was greedy for the dust, no, not for the dust, he was greedy for the remnants of the food that devotees ate. And he would invite people to his home, and then when they left, he would take his plates and eat everything left on their plates to get the mercy. And then he got the mercy of everyone in town, But Lord Chaitanya, he had to trick Lord Chaitanya. And he gave him a mango, and Lord Chaitanya knew that he wanted this mercy. So he took the mango, and he ate it, and then he sucked on the pit and threw it away. And sure enough, the devotee found that pit and took it, so he got the mercy also. So you can be greedy for Krishna consciousness. You can be greedy for service for the Lord. So these are examples of how you can use it in Krishna service. I ran across this the other night reading. This is Prabhupada in the 10th canto, some of the last things that he wrote in the Bhagavatam. And he describes this also. He says, Kama, Krodha, and Baya, that's desire, anger, and fear, are always present in the material world. But in the spiritual or transcendental world, one can use them for Krishna. The desire of the Paramahamsa, the great devotees, therefore, is to act always for Krishna. They use anger against the non-devotees and transform baya or fear into fear of being deviated from Krishna consciousness. In this way, the life of a Paramahamsa devotee is used entirely for Krishna, just as the life of a person attached to the material world is used simply for women and money. So we can use these sometimes in Krishna's service. If they're for Krishna's pleasure and for the devotee's pleasure also. Now some people may have looked through our books and heard a lot about Lord Krishna and his devotees and the pastimes of Krishna, and they think, I thought God was supposed to be perfect and not do any wrong, and that he didn't have these enemies. He's not lusting, angry, and all these things. And he's supposed to set the example. Even the Bhagavad Gita says that he sets example for everybody. So how is this going on? Because even when Krishna was little, he was lusty after what?
Butter.
Right. So lusty after butter and yogurt that he would steal. So just see, what are we supposed to think about this? And then there's some other examples. His brother, Lord Balaram, here on the altar, over on that last altar, seems like he needs to go to an anger management course, because he's always getting angry. We heard the other day that in Hastinapur he had some argument and he went to make peace, and then the Hastinapur inhabitants, they offended him with their voice. And Balaram got so angry, what did he do? He said, I'm going to drag your city and throw it in the ocean. And he took his plow, was going to drag it and drown all the inhabitants. So, hey, he can get pretty angry. And another time he had a chess game with Rukmi. And it ended up that he was starting to lose. And then a voice said, Rukmi's cheating on you. And Balaram, Krishna's brother, got really angry. It was said that he got so angry, it looked like the ocean on a full moon day. It got so churned up and everything. And what did he do? He took his club and did some damage on that person out of his anger. So, I don't know, somehow or other, we're seeing that some of these qualities are there. And then there's some people might even raise their eyebrows and think about Lord Krishna dancing with the gopis over here on this picture in the dead of night. And these are the neighborhood girls. Some of them are even married. How are we supposed to think about that? And then there's another a madness. Oh, a nice example of madness is one time Radha and Krishna were sitting together. And Lord Krishna is also known by the name Madhu because he's so sweet. And so they were sitting there, and because he's so sweet and the sweet garlands, bees actually come around. And it's very auspicious. I've actually been on the altar and bees have come and gone on the garland, so it's very auspicious. But a bee was coming around, and one of Krishna's friends thought, this bee is bothering them, you know? I'm going to get a stick and get rid of that bee. And so he chased after the bee, boom, 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 boom. And then he came back and he said, I got rid of that Madhu, because a bee is also known as Madhu. And Radharani was thinking, you got rid of my Madhu, my Krishna? Oh, no, my gosh. And she started to cry like crazy. And cry and cry. And then Krishna looked over. Krishna's sitting right next to her. But she was feeling separation, thinking that Krishna had gone away, but she was crying. And then Krishna looked over at her being separated from him when he was right next to her, and he started to cry. And then all their tears flowed and it filled a lake called Prem Sarovara, which you can visit in India. So this is madness. Isn't this madness? And then, of course, in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Lord Chaitanya got very upset with Kolavecha Sridhar. Kolavecha Sridhar was just a banana leaf seller. He makes little cups in India made out of banana leaves and little plates made out of banana leaves. And, you know, you can get banana leaves anywhere in India. You can't sell them for very much. But Lord Chaitanya would go there to the marketplace and harass Sridhar, Kolavecha Sridhar, and say, that's too high of a price for this. You have to give to me less price, less price. And they would argue and everything, get very angry at each other. And then finally, you know, just take it, Lord Chaitanya, just take it. And they would have this pastime every day. So you might think that, these are enemies. Not at all. Not at all. Even Lord Jagannath, talk about lusty. How many times does he eat a day? Anybody know how many times Lord Jagannath eats a day? 64 times a day. I think he has an artik. He eats 64 times. Can you imagine? Whoa. That's really a love for prasadam, huh? But this is exactly what happens, is that the lust turns to love because it's for the pleasure of the devotees. Can you imagine getting to cook for Lord Jagannath so many times a day? I mean, it's so nice to be able to cook here for the Lord. And all these different pastimes are simply because Lord Krishna is allowing us to relate to him, to have a reciprocation of bhakti, of love. And it pleases our heart to, you know, to the ultimate, hearing all these pastimes, doesn't it? We're not thinking, oh, Krishna's lusty, he's this, he's that. No, we're thinking, how wonderful my Lord is, that he can play with his devotee, he can have different relationships with all the devotees in so many different relishable ways. So this lust turns into love, and all the other enemies turn to the most wonderful, pleasing thing. So we're very, very fortunate that we can get purified, that our hearts can get purified by the holy name, through his holy name, through worship, through service, through taking prasadam, through so many different ways that our hearts can be transformed from a residence of enemies to a wonderful temple. And it's what happens is as you become purified, you begin to feel the relief You actually feel their relief. Your worries go away, your troubles go away, and you begin to experience that, yes, this enemy is leaving, that enemy is leaving. And there's one pastime that really describes the relief. In Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, we did this play one time. There was one godbrother of Lord Chaitanya who was visiting the town where he was. But this godbrother was known for being very envious of Lord Chaitanya. And he was a fault finder, which is not a good thing to have in your heart. And so when he came into town, all the devotees were worried. Oh no, here comes that fault finder, Ramachandra Puri. And so they tolerated him, and they warned Lord Chaitanya, better watch out, he'll probably even find fault with you. And sure enough, he did. He went and invited himself to prasadam at someone's home, and he kept telling them to eat more, serve more, eat more, eat more, eat more, right? They have a tendency to do that in India when you visit some house. They eat more, eat more, eat more. And one time I said, I can't eat anymore. I'll just have half. And so they took the chapati and they folded it in half and gave it to me. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya, you know, they ate so much and then he said, yes, see, all the devotees eat too much. And he went on, he offended them, blasted them, and gave them all a hard time, finding things wrong with them. And then when the devotees found that that Ramachandra Puri was leaving town to go on pilgrimage, what a relief. Jai, Ramachandra Puri is gone on pilgrimage, Haribo! So Haribo when our enemies go away, right? When this lust, anger, and greed go from our hearts. So we can pray to Lord Nrisingadev that we can get rid of those things. Because bhakti is very positive. We're always thinking of what we can do for Krishna. And this is puts us on a spiritual path where we can really make progress and transform our heart to become that temple where Krishna will want to reside. So this is a nice song that I'll end with. And it's called Mama Mana Mandare, In the Temple of My Heart, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Please abide in the temple of my heart both day and night, O Krishna Murari, O Sri Krishna Murari. Devotion, love, flower garlands, and sandalwood, please accept, oh please accept them, delighter of the heart. In life or in death, I worship you with these offerings, beautiful one, O enchanter of the heart. Come, son of Nanda. And then, O son of Nanda, I will offer you artik ceremony with the lamplight of my love. The waters of the Jamuna River cascade incessantly from my eyes in your separation, O holder of Govardhan Hill. May I pass my life absorbed only in songs of your praise, O Krishna Murari, Sri Krishna Murari. So this is what we hope will happen to our hearts this lifetime. So we volunteer ourselves to give up that sense, desire, hankering, and lamenting. Give it up. Just forget about it. Volunteer. Become a fighter. A fighter against this illusion that is all around us, that is attacking us at every moment. And you might try to run away from it, but Maya runs faster. Illusion runs faster. So we can only take shelter of the Lord and in prayer, and also engage in bhakti with our full-hearted attention. Whatever we do, when we chant very sincerely, when we serve with all of our energy, and we'll see that these enemies will retreat and will be very peaceful, and we can do some good for the world. We can actually also help them learn this art and show by our example that we can live very peacefully and just by doing what Srila Prabhupada said, and that's chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So anyone have any comments or questions, or maybe something they'd like to add? And thank you all for volunteering to be part of the Sankirtan army. Wherever you go, you can tell people about Krishna. Wherever you can go, you can chant the holy name. And you will affect people. You definitely will affect people. Many of us were joined just by hearing the holy name one time. And that's happened to me. I was in college, I was at a fiddler's convention, And I just happened to be around a campfire, and there was one person, this was 1970, I don't know who it was, blessed that person, but they came from New York, and they were around the campfire and they were singing Hare Krishna. And I heard that one time, and I didn't catch it, I couldn't get the whole mantra, but I went back to my college, and the next day I picked up the phone and, "Mom, I'm quitting school, I gotta find out who I am." I left and I ran into the devotees within a month or so, and now I'm here. So the holy name is that powerful. So make sure everyone hears it, sees it, says it. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.